Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. Super thrilled to be able to drop two episodes for you today. And this one right here has the world's expert on police brutality. Police are not racist. Systemic racism does not exist in the police force. And Heather McDonald, author of War on Cops, has the facts, statistics, and the real way to look at this issue that I think is going to really benefit your own interpretation of what's going on in America. She is straight to the point. She's brilliant and one of the most recognized authors on this subject. You guys are going to really enjoy this episode. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. Hit that subscribe button. Give us 5 stars. Listen to both episodes. They both relate to each other. Help us keep climbing in the charts. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. We are so honored to have the most informed and articulate individual in the entire country, someone who has done the difficult but necessary research on police brutality, on the myth of systemic racism in our police departments, and someone that I consider to be a true ally for the cause of individual initiative, freedom, and safe communities, Heather McDonald. Heather, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, Charlie, it's a great honor to be with you, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners.
Well, thank you so much. So you have authored two terrific books, and I want to get into both of them. The Diversity Delusion, which talks a lot about college campuses and hiring around that. But first, I want to get into a little bit of the news cycle. You wrote another book called War on Cops. There is a narrative that is being spread on cable television right now that there is systemic racism in police departments. Can you please help us unpack this from your fact-first, data-driven perspective?
Well, absolutely, Charlie. And what we're seeing is a reigniting of the poisonous narrative from the Obama era, the Black Lives Matter narrative that said, as you say, that we're living through an epidemic of racially biased police shootings of Black men. The data simply don't bear that out. Last year, there was a grand total of 9 unarmed Blacks shot by the police. And the source for the category of unarmed Blacks is the Washington Post. It's very generous with who it designates as unarmed. If you're trying to steal an officer's gun and beating him with it, you're unarmed. Last year, one of those 9 so-called unarmed Blacks was in a car that had sped off in a police chase in Newark, New Jersey. There was a loaded semi-automatic handgun in the car. That was considered being unarmed. Nevertheless, let's just take the 9 as a on its face value. That 9 unarmed Blacks shot by the police in the entire year is 0.1% of all Blacks who were killed in homicides by other Blacks. About 7,500 to 8,000 Blacks are killed a year. That's more than all whites and Hispanics combined. And the rate at which police officers shoot mostly armed Blacks, because the vast majority of all police shootings of civilians, there's about 1,000 fatal police shootings a year out of about 385 million contacts that officers have with civilians. The number of Blacks who were shot fatally by the police is much, much lower than their rates of violent crime would predict, because what determines officer use of force, whether it's lethal force or something lower than that, is the rate at which officers encounter violent, armed, and resisting suspects. And given the exponentially higher rates of Black crime, and I use exponentially quite literally, it's about 10 times higher. Black males commit gun violence about 10 times the rate of whites and Hispanics combined. It is predictable that they are going to be encountering more Blacks who are in crime-filled situations, more Black suspects, and the percentage of Blacks who are killed each year is about 25% of all people who are killed by the police. As I say, that's much, much lower than the Black crime rate would predict.
America's ready to get back to work, but to win in the new economy, you need every advantage to succeed. Smart companies run on NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. With NetSuite, you'll have visibility and control over your finances, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need all in one place. Whether you're doing a million or hundreds of millions in sales, NetSuite lets you manage every penny with precision. You'll have the ability to compete with anyone, work from anywhere, and run your whole company right here from your phone. Join over 20,000 companies who trust NetSuite to make it happen. I've used it. You guys got to use it. NetSuite is amazing. NetSuite surveyed hundreds of business leaders and assembled a playbook of the top strategists they're using as America reopens for business. Receive your free guide, 7 Actions That Businesses Need to Take Now, and schedule your free product tour at netsuite.com/Kirk. NetSuite's a terrific product and a service. You guys got to check it out. Get your free guide and schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/Kirk. netsuite.com/Kirk. One of my favorite pieces that I've ever seen you write was a National Review. I've probably shared it a couple hundred times, Heather. There is no epidemic of racist police shootings. You wrote this last July, and it is just as applicable today as it was back then. You talk about a study that was done by, I believe, University of Maryland College Park and Michigan State University, where they studied police departments all across the country, and they came to the conclusion that I might have a 2015 Department of Justice study. I might have them somewhat mixed up. But essentially, there was a study that was done of police departments across the country and actually found out that white and Hispanics actually have a higher likelihood of encountering police brutality. Can you talk about this? And this is something that is, again, found its way back into the news narrative, and our cities are literally being burnt down around this. And so if the data doesn't reflect it, why are people still raging against it?
Well, whites and Hispanics, three times as many white and Hispanic homicide victims are killed by cops than Black homicide victims. 12% of all white and Hispanic homicide victims are killed by a cop. 4% of Black homicide victims are killed by a cop. Why is that? Because the number of Blacks who are killed each year is so high, and they're killed by other Blacks. They're not killed by the police. They're not killed by whites. They're killed by Black criminals. A police officer is 18 and a half times more likely to be killed by a Black male than an unarmed Black male is to be killed by a cop. Black males have made up 42% of all cop killers over the last decade, even though they're 6% of the nation's population. The white supremacy charge is ridiculous. If you look at all interracial violent victimizations, excluding homicides, so all robberies, all gun assaults, all aggravated assaults that are not gun, all rapes. If you put them all together, Black on white and white on Black, Blacks commit 85% of all interracial victimizations. Whites commit 15%. So the narrative that we have, which is that Blacks are living under systemic oppression from white violence, is a complete lie. It is a powerful narrative. It is one that is perpetuated by the academic elites. The violence that we're seeing spreading now through cities is even worse than what I started documenting after Ferguson in 2015. This is spread faster. The violence is more terrifying. This is a real pandemic. This, what we are seeing now, is a civilization-destroying pandemic, unlike the absurd overreaction to the coronavirus that has destroyed the livelihoods of tens of millions of people in the United States. Why is it so much worse this time? Because we've had another 5 years of Ta-Nehisi Coates claiming that the very mission of the United States is to destroy the Black body. We've had the culmination in the New York Times' historically ignorant, biased, and bigoted 1619 Project, saying again that slavery is the very essence of the United States. And so this is a narrative that gives the liberal elites grounds to pat themselves on their back and think that they are the only defense against the growing white bigotry of the rubes, the MAGA hat wearing rubes in the rest of the country.
That is so well said, Heather. And I like you, watch this. And I got my political upbringing following your commentary during the Ferguson riots, during the Baltimore riots, where the mayor said we have to have space to let them destroy. This is different. This is on a whole different level. I actually think it's connected, and that the lockdown was the worst possible thing that could have happened before an incident like this. You gave people, you took away their sports, you took away their jobs, you took away their socialization, you took away prom, commencement, all social functions possible. And then you have 10 years, a decade of a lie that is pushed forward in public schools, a public school that I attended, by the way, in the suburbs of Chicago. We used to have curriculum that was designed saying that Black people cannot walk the streets without getting shot by a police officer. And there was no facts for that. But Heather, when that happens for a decade and then there's a singular incident of a police officer that did not handle a situation properly, like we saw in Minneapolis, that decades long of confirmation bias all of a sudden coupled with a lockdown of people that have so much built up anxiety and rage for a variety of reasons, it's almost a perfect storm. And Heather, it's like as if every other person in the country, there's no disagreement. The media is saying, oh, well, our nation is divided over the George Floyd killing. No one is divided. In fact, we've never been in more agreement around a particular issue that this cop did not act properly. In your book, Heather, you say that the police officers, this is in the book War on Cops, I encourage my audience to please go buy it. It is the best fact-driven book around this with so many citations. It's incredible. You say the police agencies across the country are actually more dedicated to the belief that, quote, Black Lives Matter than any of the activist groups. In fact, that would be a police department's mission in inner cities. Can you talk about, Heather, how police forces are actually the ones that are going out of the way to save Black lives, not the other way around?
I've never been to a police community meeting in the inner city, Charlie, whether it's in Harlem or Central Brooklyn or the South Side of Chicago, where I have not heard the good law-abiding residents in those communities beg the police for more protection. They say things like, you arrest the dealers and they're back on the corner the next day. Why can't you keep them off the street? I've heard people complain, I smell pot in the corridor of my building. Why can't you get rid of the pot smokers? Let us notice this. This is a truth that is ignored by the media. The so-called racist war on drugs has everywhere and always been instigated by the good bourgeois people of Black communities who understand the scourge that is outdoor drug dealing, that understand the terrifying choreography of a drug set in a way that the elites in our academies, in our racial advocacy groups have no idea about. The good law-abiding people in these communities see hundreds of fatherless kids hanging out on street corners fighting, and they are scared because they know that those kids are the roots of anarchy. Now, the police face a dilemma when they hear these voices pitiably begging them for protection. They can respond. They can respond by deploying more officers there, by using the lawful tactics of stop, question, and frisk, by enforcing the low-level quality of life laws that the people want to be enforced so they have a sense of public order. But if they respond to those requests, they are going to generate the racially disproportionate stop and arrest data that the ACLU will use against them in the next racial profiling lawsuit. But the reason that they're in those communities is to save Black lives. They're not the best solution to Black on Black crime. The best solution is to reconstruct the Black family so that these kids are civilized, so that they learn to defer gratification and control their impulses rather than being completely unrestrained, uninhibited, and quick to resort to violence when they feel disrespected. So the best solution to this crime in the inner city, which is why the cops are there, is the family. But until the family is reconstructed, the cops are the second best solution. And if they back off again, I write about something I call the Ferguson effect in the war on cops, where the cops across the country did back off of that proactive policing. And in 2015 and 2016, you saw a 20% increase in homicide. Who were the victims? Another 2,000 Black males were killed. If that happens again, if we get a Minneapolis effect, we're going to see the same thing, but it's going to be wider. You know, the pandemic, the absurd lockdowns were already killing cities. They were all, you know, if we have to maintain social distancing, which is so overdone, there is no way to have cities. There's no way to have restaurants. There's no way to have the opera. There's no way to have concerts. There's no way to have theater. There's no way to have travel or tourism. But if this anarchy continues, we are going to see bourgeois flight from cities that will make the flight in the 60s look like a slow crawl.
With currently no NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball, you might think there's nothing to bet on, but you'd be wrong. It looks like baseball might be coming back, so our exclusive partner BetOnline, they still have hundreds of events getting ready for sports to return. From their online casino to poker and blackjack, as they are bringing the Vegas to you. Do you miss the NFL? No problem. BetOnline has live daily Madden, NFL 20 simulations you can wager on, and NASCAR is back. If you're into entertainment betting, you can still bet on stock prices, the weather, and even the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. And if you are an MMA fan, UFC 250 is coming up June 7th. That's right. To make sure to stay tuned to this podcast to hear from former MMA star Shael Sonnen and BetOnline's Dave Mason to talk all things UFC 250, including all latest betting lines. All open 24 hours a day and all online. Visit the website or use your mobile device and join today and receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, BetOnline, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. Visit BetOnline and don't forget that promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And it will only further exacerbate all these problems. And Heather, I said right off the bat, as soon as the riot started, I said, as a result of this, the very people that are protesting, which, by the way, are a lot of the Antifa radicals out there, and some of which are part of these communities, some of them are not. And the president did designate them as a terrorist organization, which is long overdue. But I said, based on your research, the Ferguson effect, thousands of Black individuals and Black children are going to die because of this, that the police are going to feel unwelcome. You will have city council members like they have in Portland and all across the country that turn the police into the enemy and the opposition. They will retreat from these streets like they did in Southwest Chicago, where there are 500 Black on Black gun deaths every single year, 500 every year. And you mentioned nine unarmed Black individuals, and even that nine is a questionable at best figure in a country of 330 million people. And so, Heather, as we look at this, we look at the police departments are actually on the side of Black Americans, and a lot of times are actually minority majority police, you know, forces. I anticipate a Ferguson effect or a Minneapolis effect, but can you speak to, as far as the data in general, of how the left is able to possibly justify this narrative in perpetuity? Or is this just a pathological, emotive argument based around singular instances outside of a macro data trend to try to push forth a much more sinister political agenda?
Well, yeah, it's very curious to see what the hell is their agenda. I don't know. I mean, we've seen at the Black Lives Matter sort of petered out with this whimper of a manifesto about trans rights. It was so disorganized. But there have been calls in Chicago to get rid of police forces entirely. I sometimes wish the police would say, fine, we'll take you at your word. Just walk out. You know, if you guys really think that you can maintain order here through your violence interrupters or whatever, try it. You know, there is sort of informal boycotts. What we saw with the Ferguson effect, officers will drive by that guy hitching up his waistband because he's got a gun at 2 a.m. in the morning on a known drug corner. That's what we saw. And even FBI then Director James Comey talked about it. He was very honest about the Ferguson effect. He said, this is going on, even as the Obama Justice Department was frantically denying it. But it will happen again. What they want is really a question. I think some of them really do have simply, there is an ecstatic lust for destruction. There is a human lust for violence and blood that has now been unleashed. And civilization is necessary to tamp that down. So for the anarchists among us, there's simply a joy in that destruction. Beyond that, it's very hard to understand. And yes, of course, there's no data that they will accept because they are in complete denial about the reality of Black crime. The reality is this. I mean, we heard so much about New York City and its racist stop, question, and frisk practices. And it's always hard to absorb numbers. I'm sorry to give some more out there, Charlie, but, you know, again, one has to get these numbers. In New York City, Blacks are about 23% of the population, and they make up about 50% of all police stops. And so Al Sharpton and everybody else says, aha, Blacks are stopped at twice the rate of their representation in the population. That is per se evidence of cop bias. And they never go beyond that. Every charge of racial profiling that any of your listeners will ever encounter through the rest of his life, I can guarantee you, is going to be based on that type of simplistic analysis. You get your hands on population ratios. You get your hands on cop activity data. You put them next to each other, and if the cop activity data is larger than the population ratio, you conclude racial profiling. Here is what the left will not tell you: the crime data. So Blacks are 23% of the city's population. They commit about 35%, about 70%. Of all shootings in New York City. Add Hispanic shootings to Black shootings, and you account for nearly 100% of all drive-bys in New York City. That's true in every big American city. Every city has those disparities. Whites in New York City are 34% of the city's population. They commit less than 2% of all shootings in New York City. How do we know that? From the victims of and witnesses to those shootings who are themselves overwhelmingly Black and Hispanic. The left will not acknowledge those realities.
Completely. So, Heather, I want to make sure we touch on your latest book, The Diversity Delusion. Everyone should pick up a copy of this as well. I actually think it ties in to exactly what we're talking about. You give a pretty full-throated indictment of the university system, which obviously I spend a fair amount of time on at Turning Point USA and the work that we do. And you make the argument that the university in some ways is the gateway to this broken culture. And the byline of the book is how race and gender pandering corrupt the university, undermine our culture. And I think a lot of the misinformation, the mob style teaching, the emotive posture that they put into young university activist driven students is why we are seeing the riots we are seeing right now. Why did you write this book? And are you starting to see affirmation of a lot of the arguments that you make in this book coming true, especially in the last couple months of lockdown to now burn it all down?
Charlie, you're right on everything. And yes, before this week of anarchy, which is going to tear our civilization down, the overreaction to the coronavirus was absolutely a confirmation of what I've seen in the universities, which is the safetyism ideology. If you can persuade students to think that they are at risk of their lives on college campuses from circumambient racism and sexism, which is a complete fantasy, which is a complete delusion, which is a complete caricature of the fact that there has never been a society more open to history's traditionally marginalized groups than an American college campus, whether it's gays or blacks or females. If you can persuade students that they are in need of safe spaces on a university campus among a group of overwhelmingly tolerant, universally tolerant faculty and administrators, you can persuade them that they need to insist on zero risk of anything in the society at large. So the commerce killing, the prosperity killing shutdowns that are going to take more lives than the coronavirus ever could is a direct result of campus ideology. But these current riots are even more so. People today have been sending me statements from various college presidents unctuously calling for racial justice on their campuses in the wake of the George Floyd horrific arrest, which you rightly say, Charlie, is a very singular event. It is not representative. But the UCLA chancellor, the University of California at Los Angeles, was the supreme in self-righteous virtue signaling. He's reinvigorating the racial trauma unit on UCLA. UCLA pays its vice chancellor of equity, diversity, and inclusion over $400,000 a year. That is multiples more than assistant faculty members make, all in the service of a lie that UCLA is a place of bigotry. So the idea that America is a place of bigotry, the idea that America is a place of white supremacy, which is not the case. This is a country made up of good, well-meaning people who want nothing more than to be post-racial. That poisonous idea of ubiquitous white supremacy, which was restated on Friday by President Obama in a tweet, restated by former Vice President Joe Biden in response to the George Floyd, that is a lie that comes right out of the academy and is going to further tear apart our society.
And it is confirmation bias in real time. And it results in this negative feedback loop where young people have been taught this by people with very long credentials. Therefore, they must be correct. Arguments from authority coupled with emotion and a lot of these young people have meaningless lives, and they find their meaning in protesting alleged injustices, and they sacrifice and they put forward their entire individual identity into the mob, which is so akin to the French Revolution. And Peggy Noonan, who's terrific, who I know wrote a excerpt for your book, has done one of the best analysis of the French Revolution. It was a column many months ago. Do you want to build the wall? Well, you need to build the wall around your computer. That's what PCmatic does. PCmatic is a whitelist next-generation antivirus system designed to stop modern threats like ransomware. Independent testing firm AV-Test just named PCmatic as the top performer in the cybersecurity industry, giving it the Best Performance Award for 2019. Only PCmatic has American research, development, and support. PCmatic's competition is made in foreign countries, many where the viruses originate. PCmatic blocks annoying and malicious ads for hassle-free web browsing and makes your computers faster and more reliable, even after years of use. The Chinese Communist Party is trying to get into your computer. PCmatic can prevent it at PCmatic.com/Charlie. PCmatic blocks annoying and malicious ads for hassle-free web browsing and makes your computers faster and more reliable even after years of use. PCmatic protects Windows computers including XP, Vista, Windows 7, 8, and 10, Windows servers, Macs, MacBooks, Androids, and phone tablets. This is $50 for 5 devices for 1 year with a full 30-day money-back guarantee. Get world-class security, build the wall, build it high, build it wide, PCmatic.com/Charlie. So, Heather, in closing here, you also talk on the Me Too mania in this book. You talk about all the major lies of the left. Kind of give our listeners a little bit of a preview of, a preview is the wrong term, but a little bit of an insight into where this is headed, Heather, if you, people like you and I that are fact-first, driven individuals that try to just defend Western society as a pretty good place for people of all different racial backgrounds to be able to flourish. If the mob gets their way, Heather, you study history. Where is this headed?
Well, civilization ends. I mean, what I see in the university and what we saw in the coronavirus hysteria is the feminization of culture. This is a war on traditional male virtues of courage and honor, competition, risk-taking. There is a hatred for what white males have accomplished. And they are being sidelined, Asians to a great degree as well when it comes to racial preferences. They are the most in college admissions. They are the most handicapped by a disregard for academic merit. But if we decide that the traits and values that brought us extraordinary scientific discovery based on accomplishment, on colorblind, on sex-blind accomplishment, that those must be disparaged and history rewritten to be one long narrative of woe. And of course, Charlie, you know as well as I do that there are just extraordinary hypocrisies in American history. It is unfathomable how it took us so long to understand how utterly unacceptable, how violent our treatment of blacks was, how much it was a betrayal of our founding ideals. But we have, I think by now, far compensated for that. And going forward, people want to get along. The ideology that's coming out of the universities is dedicated to preventing that. And the greater the feminization of civilization goes on, the less there will be of it. So I think what needs to happen is people need to take on the myth of bias. That is the idea that any disparity that we see in our culture, whether it's the lack of 50-50 male-female engineers at Google and other big tech firms, or the lack of black physicists at Google or MIT, the idea that that must be explained by bias, as opposed to different skills, different interests, different appetites for competition, and again, the large differences now in academic skills. If we can't tell the truth about that, and we only accept bias as the explanation for our world, we are going to destroy meritocracy, we're going to destroy the possibility of future progress.
And I'm afraid that's exactly what they want. Just to give our listeners an understanding of who wrote a review of your book, you are the only person, Heather, who could get Peggy Noonan, Jordan Peterson, Steven Pinker, Charles Murray, Shelby Steele, and Thomas Sowell to write a positive review of a book. I can't think of anyone else who'd be able to pull that off. It's Diversity, Delusion, also War on Cops. Heather, in closing, anything you want our audience to be aware of, any specific things that you're doing or that, you know, that you want our audience to push towards that we can be supportive of you? And thank you for being so generous with our time. I should say they wrote endorsements of your book, I should say.
Oh, Charlie, no, you've been so generous. I just I would say to the viewers, go out and read great literature. You know, you talk about the meaninglessness in people's lives. that's because the universities are failing to tell students they should be down on their knees in gratitude before the great works of sublimity, of insight, of wit, of imagination that have been bequeathed us. And your colleges are very unlikely to give them to you. Seek them out on your own, because if you die without having been exposed to the Greek tragedians, to Milton, to Shakespeare, to Trollope, to Mark Twain, to Mozart, to Haydn, Schubert, you will have died without having experienced the full range of human emotion and insight. So spend your time immersing yourself in beauty, because you're going to need it as the world becomes ever more squalid.
Amen to that. And I can tell you, from someone who has visited hundreds of campuses and represents over 2,000 of them at Turning Point USA, they don't even teach you Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. They just say those old white guys that used to run Greece and had bad ideas. It's a tragedy. So, Heather, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining the show. It is War on Cops, Diversity Delusion, and your voice is so critical right now. And the studies you have done, if followed, could actually make our cities safer and our civilization intact. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Charlie. It's been a real pleasure.
What a great conversation that was with Heather McDonald. If you guys want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. Fight on college campuses. Fight on high school campuses. Start groups all across the country. tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. And if you guys want to keep on supporting our show, go to freedom@charliekirk.com. I should say email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. You can go to charliekirk.com for recent articles, and we are going to be having some really exciting new features on charliekirk.com. So make sure you are checking that with regularity. And finally, type in Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider, hit subscribe, and leave us those 5-star reviews. And we are going to be giving away 10 copies of the MAGA Doctrine to random winners. Just email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, New York Times bestseller, number one on Amazon for a couple days, freedom@charliekirk.com. I'll sign them. Just email me your favorite part of this interview, the Heather McDonald interview, freedom@charliekirk.com. And make sure to check out our other episode today and go back in the archives. We have had cutting edge commentary on everything happening in America, and we have more coming later this week. Shoot us an email, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening. God bless.